Across America and around the world, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
And I'm Carolyn Nelson.
I want to welcome all of you out there back for another week of chilling, thrilling, absolutely spine-tingling radio. For everybody out there who's been waiting on orders, we have been working our little tails off around here. All of the audio tapes up to today are out. All of the videotapes up to and including today are out. Memberships will be out by the end of this week. Everybody's background check came in. Packages are being compiled. All the laminations are done and out, folks. We have, as you see, been just hustling and bustling. All the books are out. There isn't much left here at all. So what we've done, we got together and we have ourselves organized now so that here during the Christmas season, anything that comes in goes out the following day. Anything that comes in goes out the following day up to December the 20th. Up to December the 20th. After that, anything that comes in during one particular week goes out the following week without fail. All of our systems are in place, folks. Now, for the holiday seasons, and for many of you who have written us and said that they cannot afford to purchase items that they really would like to purchase simply because they're unemployed or they just don't have enough money or whatever, we have taken buku, and for those of you who haven't been overseas, that means an awful lot of money off the price of everything up until December the 20th. This ends December the 20th and will not be repeated. We do not have discounts on our merchandise, folks. We're doing this as a one-time basis for Christmas only. Kennedy the Sacrificed King, $5 off for CAGI members. It's now $30 post-paid. It's normally $70 for anybody else who's not a CAGI member. Right now, till December the 20th, $50 post-paid. The Atlanta, Georgia tape, which includes Project Red Light 2 and Kennedy the Sacrificed King. It's almost 8 hours of videotape, four videos. It's normally $200 for people who are not CAGI members, one time only until December the 20th, $120. For CAGI members, it's normally $120 until December the 20th, Atlanta, Georgia. The four-tape set, almost 8 hours of video, $80. Project Red Light 2, $30 for CAGI, $50 for everybody else. It's normally $35 and $70. Alternative 3, $30 CAGI, $50 everybody else. That's normally $35 and $70. Video 1, it's extensive documentation. Slides, videos taken from actual NASA photographs showing anomalous structures on the Moon and Mars, and lots, lots more. You won't believe what's on that tape set, folks. It's 4.5 hours. It's normally $67 and $82. Until December the 20th, it's $50 for CAGI members and $60 for everybody else. Video 1A, it's highlights from the set. It's 2 hours of highlights from the 4.5 hour set that I just discussed. Normally $37 and $52. Until December the 20th, it's $30 for CAGI members, $40 for everybody else. Video 2, 4 hours, lecture on the New World Order, forecast for the future, where I actually predicted this economic collapse, folks, that took place during this last year, and by the way, which we're still in, and they're trying to tell you that things are improving. It's normally $67 and $82, $50 for CADGI members, $60 for everybody else. Video 3 is 4 hours. It's again about the New World Order. It's a 4-hour lecture. Normally $67 and $82, $50 for CADGI members, $60 for everybody else. For the all you people out there who wanted the Mystery Babylon tape set, we're going to do something really special. It's over $250 now for people who are not CADGI members, and it's $200 for CADGI members now, one time and one time only, and you better take advantage of this, folks. For CADGI members, this whole set of Mystery Babylon tapes right now, $100. For everybody else, $150. That's $100 off if you're not a CADGI member. So you better take advantage of it, because after the December the 20th, all prices go back to normal, and you will not be able to do this. The book, because I do not publish the book, I cannot give a discount on the book. It's $25 for CADGI members. Everybody else, $30. Folks, take advantage of these prices. Until further notice, we will not take any more applications for CADGI membership, period. If your postmark is later than tonight, in other words, if you send off for CADGI membership and you have a postmark of December the 7th, it will be returned to you. Folks, we're completely revamping the membership. Everybody who is a member now, don't worry. Your membership is secure. And if you send in a request for membership postmarked today or earlier, it will be treated just as they always have been. Okay, folks, we got a good show for you tonight. I think you're really going to get a kick out of this. And we'll cover a little unfinished business at the beginning. And then we'll go on. Our metals report with Gene Miller from Swiss America Trading will be at the beginning of the program tomorrow night. Just in case some of you have forgotten, I want to remind you that tomorrow is the anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. And I hope that everybody takes a moment tomorrow to reflect upon that and to pay homage to all those wonderful, wonderful young men and women and older men and women who gave their lives in defense of our country, not only at Pearl Harbor, but all through World War II. Well, here we go. We're going on a great adventure, ladies and gentlemen, with two young CADGI members, both of them, I believe, 22 years old, and armed with a CADGI press pass, a tape recorder, a video recorder that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't, the unmitigated brashness of youth, and a smile that spans the expanse of the Chesapeake Bay. Tonight, folks, it's the Mark and Bart Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome to the hour of the time two young men who started out looking for the Holy Grail and found a lot more than they ever dreamed. Welcome, Mark and Bart, to the hour of the time.
Thank you, Bill. Good evening, Bill.
Good evening. Let's see if we can get a level here. Why don't you both talk for just a second or two, introduce yourself and tell us who you are.
Okay, my name is Mark. I'm 22 years old. I live in the Los Angeles area. I began my research for the so-called truth about a year ago. It started all with the movie JFK, Oliver Stone's JFK. When that first came out, I saw that. I didn't really know too much about politics or anything, really. I was never interested in school that much, or really even history in general. And I saw this movie, and after watching it, I knew that there was a lot to be learned, and we were possibly being lied to by the people we listen to every day. So I read the book, which the movie was based on, by Jim Garrison, On the Trail of the Assassins, and I also read the other book that Oliver Stone used in the movie, which was Crossfire, by, I believe his name is Jim Mars. After reading these books, I realized there was something wrong, and one of my friends gave me a copy of one of your tapes, Bill, from the 1989 lecture in Sedona, Arizona.
Okay.
And in that, you know, you talked about Kennedy and everything, and at first I took it like most other people would, you know, who's this guy? And I just took your advice and didn't really believe anything, but just started looking for myself, going to the library, doing a little research here and there. And you hit it pretty on the money. So I called Stan one day, and he explained to me what CAGI is and what they stand for. And I joined. I started ordering more of your tapes. I purchased a shortwave radio, which at first I could barely hear anything on the hour of the time with the reception and all. And eventually got a good antenna and started listening to it every night. And basically that's where I'm at now.
When did you start taking an active part in gathering an intelligence and submitting it?
Well, it all started after I listened to the Mystery School's tape in your Atlanta lecture. Up until then, I didn't really understand the whole implication of this. And it got to a point when I started understanding a little bit about symbology. Obviously, I still have a lot more to learn. But it all started coming together, and I saw how I was being manipulated by these people on a daily basis. Signs and symbology and stuff we take for granted that we know nothing about. So after this, I started doing a little bit more research, and that's when I became more active.
Wonderful. Mark, how about you?
Oh, this is Bart.
Oh, Bart, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I got you guys mixed up earlier, too.
Our voices sound pretty similar.
Yeah, they do.
I'm
actually not in person, just over the phone.
I just turned 23 a little while ago, and...
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Me and Mark have been friends for a long time. We're actually best friends, and my journey started at the same time Mark did, since we're best friends with JFK. And we really started doing a lot of research at first into JFK by going to the bookstores and just reviewing almost everything and all the kinds of books that were written about JFK. And that's what really got us involved into conspiracies. And from then, after we saw your Sedona tape, it was a complete contrary about everything else that's out there. And that really got my attention, because yours made a whole lot more sense. Your theory and your explanation made a whole lot more sense than anybody else's.
Sort of shatters the known world, doesn't it?
Sure does. And I've always been interested in conspiracies, and always think that there's always got to be something deeper that's always hidden.
Mm-hmm.
JFK was just the start of it, and definitely... When we viewed your Atlanta tape, when you got heavily into Mystery Babylon and the Mystery Schools, when we first watched that, we have to admit, it went right over our heads, and we didn't understand what you were talking about at all. And I remember when Mark called me up and he says, Bart, Cooper, on this whole 7.5-hour tape, didn't talk once about aliens. And because we had watched the Sedona tape, and that's where a lot of everything linked with the aliens,
mm-hmm.
in which we've now found out is not true.
Well, that's when I was biting on the deception, too.
Yes.
That's correct. It looks like in your book, Scenario 5 is the case here.
That's right. And what is that?
That's basically, you came to a lot of different possible conclusions in your chapter there, which you even labeled as a hypothesis of what you knew at the time and which documents were shown to you. And basically, Scenario 5 says that this whole thing is a possible, the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on us to create an alien threat in order to formate the New World Order and to put all the nations together and merge all the armies to repel the threat.
That's correct. Well, gentlemen, we met, I guess, at one of the seminars that I was invited to, where I was a guest speaker, and then we communicated, and you became very active CADGI members. But I know from many of our conversations that you still didn't believe a lot of the things that that I had discovered in my research, and I know that on many cases when you set out to do the research, that you were looking for some way to say that this is wrong, this can't be.
That's true. You know, when I'll take it back to the alien case again. When you talk about aliens and stuff like that, it's real easy to believe that, and it's real easy to comprehend about aliens.
Mm-hmm.
When it got into the religion and the mystery schools, I mean, all that, a lot of times people don't even want to bother with that. They don't even want to learn about that. And to me, that was the hardest thing to accept, because all my life I had not been a religious person. I never studied religion. So all this was new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to spend a lot of time listening to the tapes, looking up the resources you named in your bibliography, and some of the books you gave me the names of when we talked on the phone, and the times I've met you. And basically, if people do the research and they go to the library and do the things you tell them to do, they find out that all this is true.
They also find out that there really are aliens, but they're not from outer space.
That's right. It's like in They Live. It's not the aliens, it's the mystery schools.
That's right. And they consider themselves alien and foreign to the rest of us and not subject to any government on this earth save theirs. So the premise that they're putting out into the world, that the world is being controlled through a secret government really controlled by aliens, is technically true, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And that really blows your mind when you realize that this whole extraterrestrial thing is being perpetrated by them to turn attention away from them and help create the world that they want with our help, when in fact it's not a scam at all. It's just, who are the aliens?
That's right. And you know, in the movie, which was based on Travis Walton's experience, Fire in the Sky, but if you see the movie and you hear the Travis Walton interview, they completely differ.
Oh, yes.
Well, anyways, in the movie, there's a scene where the character portraying Travis Walton, breaks out of the cocoon, and he's floating through the spaceship, so to say, and he sees these spacesuits, which look like the gray aliens. And then when you actually see the aliens, they look like serpents.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's, you know, I think the...
And one of the symbols of the mysteries are the priests of the mysteries, is the serpent.
That's right. So somebody's laughing at us.
Oh, they're laughing real hard. And then you see these alien suits hung up in the spacecraft. So you know that they weren't aliens after all. You see the same thing in the Whitley Strieber movie, Communion. You see masks all over the place, these alien masks, as if they're just waiting for somebody to put them on and perpetrate this hoax. And we see them laughing at us all over the place, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Bill, I'd like to interject that I have to admit, when I first saw the Sedona tape,
mm-hmm.
What you were espousing was so, to me, was like crazy. I actually thought, as I was watching your tape, and I didn't want to believe some of the stuff that you were telling us. I actually thought, or kind of had suspicions in my mind, that you might yourself be a government agent trying to spread disinformation and control us with...
Well, I'm sure in the beginning that's exactly what they wanted me to do.
Because I didn't want to believe everything that you said, because if you were right, I said, we're in big trouble. So one of the motivating factors in my life in doing the research was trying to prove you wrong.
Mm-hmm. Many people set out to do that, who end up some of the best CADGI members we've ever had.
That's what's happened in our case, too. we definitely were. I wanted to prove you wrong some way, somehow, just to make me feel better that we're not in that bad of a shape and that I haven't been a sheeple and been asleep that long.
Yeah, nobody wants to realize that they're a sheeple, do they? I never did want to.
No.
That's right. Everybody just has to wake up and do what you said. Look in the mirror and just say that, you know, you've been stupid all this time, and it's time to wake up and start looking for yourself and stop believing other people and just not be stupid anymore.
Right. Now, I want to read something to you guys out of a book here, because I know one of the things that you didn't believe because of what you had learned in the Patriot community and from talking to other people was that the Liberty Lobby is a great Patriot group, and that the radio show Radio Free America couldn't possibly be connected with Nazis or with any kind of deception whatsoever. And I'm going to read this to you, and this is out of a book called The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies by William T. Still. That's The New World Order, The Ancient Plan of Secret Societies by William T. Still. And I quote, "There has been a certain amount of crossfire between the extremes of the American political spectrum over this coup issue. The leftist Mother Jones magazine printed a story by Robert Erringer in April 1981, which reported that Robert Bartel, chairman of the anti-Semitic Liberty Lobby, presided over a secretive 1970 Liberty Lobby fundraiser for a project known as Operation Survival. The stated goal of this project was to finance a right-wing military dictatorship for the United States of America." And I believe that that was what ultimately resulted in Nixon trying to take over the government with the help of the military and the coup, which actually threw him out of the White House. What do you think about that?
You know, Bill, I have that book right in front of me, and I'm following along with you. That's on page 14.
And by the way, folks, I had no idea that he was going to do that. Go ahead.
That's on page 14 of William T. Still's book.
Yes.
And what I wanted to mention about that is that Tom Valentine on his show had a caller that called in. Now, I have this on tape, but I don't have the tape machine here in front. I'm recording the show here. I'm going to send that to you, Bill.
Okay.
And when you get it, I'd like you to play it on the air just so the listening audience knows that we're not making this up.
Well, I have to hear it first because I haven't heard it, but yeah, send it to me.
Okay.
But go ahead.
The caller said that he was referring to you, although he never mentioned your name. He was saying that this other guy, meaning William Cooper, his whole argument or premise about Tom Valentine being a member of the Mystery Schools is based on a handshake, on a Masonic handshake given to Tom Valentine by somebody else. Now, I just wanted to say that that is totally not true, what you were saying, Bill. You quoted from a book written by Richard Noon. The name of the book is 5-5-2000. And if everybody turned to page 293 of that book, you would hear it in Tom Valentine's own words, in the organization I belong to, the Stell Group.
That's correct.
If you bought a book called The New World Order by A. Ralph Epperson, there's a quote in that book. I'm sorry, I don't have the book in front of me, so I can't say the exact page number. But it's a quote from one of the leaders of the Stell Group, and he tells you who they worship.
And who is that?
Lucifer.
That's correct. Now, we met on the steps, Capitol steps in Washington, D.C. for Project 93, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
Okay. And you guys were asking me how I could tell if somebody was a member of the Brotherhood. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. I do.
And I showed you how to give the grip of the Master Mason. Now, this is where a lot of people get confused. It's called the grip of the Master Mason. It's called other things by other groups. But it is the same identifying handshake used by all of these secret societies. It's even used in the temple ceremony of the Mormon Church.
That's now, correct. And just so our audience can double check that, if they get a movie called The God Makers 2, you'll see that handshake being exchanged in an actual temple ceremony.
So when we call it the grip of the Master Mason, we're not implying that someone necessarily has to be a Mason, but we know that the person is, in fact, a member of the Brotherhood.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, your purpose of doing what you did in Washington, D.C., was to find out if I was indeed correct, and you didn't set out to in any way disparage or hurt Tom Valentine.
That's correct. In fact,
you were hoping that I was wrong, weren't you?
Yes, Bill. I even after you showed me this handshake, I said to you, Bill, I said, what would happen if I gave Tom Valentine this handshake? And you told me that he would probably think that you're a brother of the craft, and he would return it.
If he was a member of the Brotherhood.
That's correct.
And if he wasn't a member of the Brotherhood, he would not know what you were doing, and what would he do then?
I just wonder what kind of funky handshake we just gave him.
That's right, but he would not have returned it.
That's right.
That's right, because this handshake, if everybody knows what it is, there's no way it can be done by accident.
That's right. Now, anybody can find out what this handshake is. It's been revealed in books and things for many years. But and if you find that out, you can go give it to someone. But if you're not a member of the Brotherhood and someone gave you that handshake, you would never return it. So what does that mean? What happened in Washington, D.C.?
Okay, well, after talking to you about this, and, by the way, I just want to bring up that you also showed me the step of a Master Mason, too.
Right.
The stamp.
And so I noticed Tom Valentine was standing it was a few hundred feet away. He was closer up on the Capitol steps than we were at the time. He was talking to people, and I walked up.
If I want to interject something, what happened is that me, Mark, and a couple of other CAGI members.
Yeah, there was actually four of you all together, if I remember correctly.
There was four of us, correct. We decided to attempt to give the handshake to Tom Valentine to see if you were correct or not about him being a member of the Mystery Schools. And we had a video camera, which we had taken to Washington, D.C. to film our trip, film Project 93, to film various symbology throughout the city. So I was operating the video camera, and Mark and another CAGI member went up to Tom Valentine to shake his hand. And
let's don't go any further.
Okay.
Let's don't go any further because I've got to take a break. Don't go away, folks. So you're going to hear a lot more, and once we get this out of the way, and we've got to cover this because of all the bullshit and lies that you've heard on the Radio Freemasonry, that we've got to get this out of the way. But don't go away. We'll be right back with our Argonauts. Get any more exciting radio than you will from the Hour of the Time, nor will you stand any kind of a chance of hearing anywhere anything close to what you can hear on this show, nor anything close to the truth like you can hear on the Hour of the Time. Now, folks, we don't claim ever to be 100% correct. We're human just like you, and occasionally we make mistakes. We never, ever put out any information on this program that is wrong intentionally. And if we ever are wrong, we want you to notify us right away so that we can check it out. If you can, furnish as much proof as you possibly can furnish. And if we are in error, we will correct it on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, we're the only ones that will tell you that. We're also the only people in the whole world that tell you that the only way that you're going to escape from the chains that bind you to those who manipulate and rule and deceive and bring us into wars and economic difficulties repeatedly for their own gain, for their own power, and for their own profit. The only way that you're ever going to escape is to stop believing anything that you hear or read from any source unless you can prove it in your own research, and that includes me. That includes the President of the United States. That includes your own mind. Is difficult at best. Now, we would not be able to bring you this program, folks, if it were not for Swiss America Trading. You wouldn't be hearing this program now because, I'll tell you quite frankly, I can't afford anything near this airtime. We started out paying for it out of our pocket, and we were on one night a week for quite some time, almost a year, in fact, until we got a break. And WWCR called me and said that they had had so many compliments on the Hour of the Time, and that everybody there at WWCR believed so much in the message of the Hour of the Time that they wanted to give me an opportunity to broadcast five nights a week. I had no sponsor, no prospect of ever getting a sponsor. I let it be known on the air that with a hope and a prayer and putting all of our faith in God, that we were going to sell everything that we had that we didn't absolutely have to survive, and we were going to go for it, trusting in God that when it came time for the money to be there, that it would be there. And for months, ladies and gentlemen, the listeners of this program sent in their nickels and dimes and quarters and $10 and $20 and $100 bills, and we kept this program on the air. We took every spare penny that we had, and we put it into this program. And then one day I got a call from Swiss America Trading saying that they had heard of my show and that they believed so much in the message that we were delivering to the American people that they would like to have an opportunity to sponsor the Hour of the Time. Well, it took quite a while for them to sponsor this program because before we would accept them, we thoroughly investigated Swiss America Trading and found that they're one of the most respected, honest, and honorable people dealing in precious metals that exist in this country, bar none. Now, that doesn't mean that they haven't had complaints. Every company that's ever been in existence has had complaints. And this is what took so long. We had to investigate the complaints that were on record, and in every instance, we found that Swiss America Trading was right. They stand by their policy. They tell you up front everything in the contract that you're making with them, what you're going to get, what it's going to cost you, what the spread is, what their guarantee is. They tell it to you again when it's time to send it to you, and they even tape record it so that there is no question that you understand. You get all the information in the literature. And then you also get a statement again with the delivery of your precious metal in whatever form you ordered it in. These people don't play games. They have dedicated themselves to honest, good service. They are patriots. Every single one of the people there that I've talked to are also good religious Christian people. And that means they have moral standards. Ladies and gentlemen, good, solid moral standards. Now, don't get me wrong, Christians aren't the only ones in the world with moral standards. But you have a better chance of ending up with someone who has some kind of a moral code if you're dealing with someone who has a religious life. In other words, they understand that there's a God and that God has laws and that you better obey those laws. Now, we're facing, eventually, a total and complete economic collapse. Eventually, they're going to have to devalue the dollar, folks. They're going to have to switch from a currency system to a non-cash system, either a card or maybe an implant, who knows, but it's going to be a cashless system, because if they don't, eventually they're going to get caught in their theft of everything. Remember, the fact that you don't have an allodial patent deed to your property tells you that you don't own that property. If you're paying property tax, that's your rental payment to the true owner. Now, if you'd like to protect yourself against what's coming with the only thing in the world that's really ever provided any safety net for anybody in economic hard times, call Swiss America Trading and do it tonight. In fact, do it right now. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Talk to any of the wonderful people there. Everybody there is well-trained, dedicated to helping the customer, and specifically the listeners of the Hour of the Time. Thank them for sponsoring this program. Mention my name, William Cooper, and ask for all the free literature and information and newsletters, and you'll be glad that you did. Remember, 1-800-289-2646. Do it now. Gentlemen, continue with your story.
Well, Bill, where I left off was that Mark, another Kanji member, and I kind of conspired to see what would happen if Tom Valentine was given the Masonic handshake or the Brotherhood handshake. I was operating a video camera, a video recorder. I was approximately 50 or 60 feet perpendicular to Tom Valentine and Mark and the other Kanji member that approached Tom Valentine. The other Kanji member shook Mr. Valentine's hand in a regular manner. And unfortunately, because this was a large crowd that was at the Capitol steps for Project 93, the positioning when Mark went to give him the handshake was the other Kanji member blocked the camera's view of the actual handshake.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was looking through the viewfinder, I saw this, and so I quickly ran to the side so that I could see. Even I stopped recording at the time because I ran to the side to look around the other Kanji member, and I did witness, as well as Mark can attest and the other Kanji member can attest to, that the handshake was returned to Mark.
Now, Jerry was one of the other two, and he's already called into this program several weeks ago and verified this. So, Tom Valentine's assessment that this is one kooky nut who keeps calling that says that he gave him a handshake and he didn't is just total bullshit, isn't it?
That is correct.
In other words, Tom Valentine is a liar, isn't he?
He is.
And there's quite a few witnesses that can prove that and are willing to stand up in court and say that, aren't they?
That's correct.
Sure are.
Willing to go all the way. I'd like to bring up something. After I reached out and shook Mr. Valentine's hand, just after I touched his third knuckle with my thumb, he got a smile through his face, and he returned it. Now, at this time, he asked me where I was from.
Uh-huh.
And I told him Los Angeles. And the minute I said Los Angeles, he said that he went to, I believe it was Long Beach City College.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm going to ask you this, Bill. I'm not quite sure myself, but do you think that he was setting up the question for me to say, so you're a traveling man, and you traveled from west to east?
Well, I don't know. I don't like to put words in people's mouth. I have no idea what he meant by that, but it's a possibility. But anyway, we've got just a little bit left. So what I'd like to do is, now that we've got that out of the way, and we had to get that out of the way because there's a whole lot of stupid sheeple out there. Now, I take that back. Sheeple aren't stupid. They're just ignorant and misled. They've got a chance. There's a lot of stupid people out there who are playing high school games, popular this and popular that, where we're trying to reveal to them how they're being manipulated and deceived. And so we can't help the stupid people, but there's a lot of sheeple out there who also listen to all of these radio shows, and they don't understand what's going on. So we wanted to clear that up for the sheeple who have a chance of coming back to being real people and helping us to understand all these deceptions and all these manipulations. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, that the Liberty Lobby is what used to be called in this country the German Bund. In fact, in its ancient history, we even have testimony letters from people who used to belong that say they used to sing the horse whistle song at the beginning of their meetings. They then became sort of in limbo and then eventually evolved into the Liberty Lobby. You see, the German Bund wasn't too damn popular after World War II. Now, Willis Cardo, who's extremely involved with the Liberty Lobby, was at one time the head of the Nazi Party in the United States of America. If you read the Spotlight for very long, you'll find out that they play the old game of dividing us against each other. They are extremely racist. And I don't just mean anti-Semitic. I mean they are racist. Anybody who's not white, Anglo-Aryan, just ain't with it in this country. They pretend that they're not. But you look and investigate the advertisements and you read the articles and you'll find that they really are. And they would like to foment and create a rebellion in this country to give the powers that be the excuse to put us under their thumb. And I'm telling you right now, if they ever suspend the Constitution and throw it right in the trash, and there's no doubt about it, and begin to enslave Americans, I'll join with any kind of a fight to help restore the Constitution. But I'll never support fascists or Nazis or anybody who wants to bring us under the kind of control that Hitler exerted over the people in Germany and in Europe. I will resist that in every possible way that I can. Now, I don't care what political party anybody belongs to. I don't care what religion anybody belongs to. But when you start lying and deceiving the rest of us in order to bring about some kind of a control or a world or a government or any other kind of bullshit that you're trying to put us under your thumb, I'm not going to go for that. And the minute I find out who you are, I'm going to expose you on the air. I'm going to expose you in print. I'm going to expose you in my lectures, and I will continue to do that until my dying day. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you want. It's time that everybody began dealing with a straight hand from a point of truth. No more lies, no more deception, no more manipulation. And I think we'll have a much better world. Now, you guys set out on another little expedition here recently because you heard that there was in Las Vegas an Egyptian pyramid. Tell us about that. And remember, you got just about 10 minutes to do it, maybe 12.
Okay, Bill. Again, me and Mark and a few of our other friends who are not CADGY members, we went to Las Vegas for a weekend. This was the weekend before Thanksgiving. Our goal, me and Mark's, was to check out the Luxor Hotel and see if there was any symbology or if this was just a little fancy-looking pyramid. And our other friends went there just to go to Las Vegas. What we found there will astound you. The symbology there is just overwhelming. And it's kind of funny when you can see and understand what they are putting out there in symbols. We just started laughing because they are really laughing at us. the mystery schools are just laughing at the quote-unquote profane or the sheeple.
Now, is this an accident? I mean, did somebody just come along and decide to build a hotel in the shape of a pyramid? Is that possible?
I don't think so. The shape of the pyramid shape, as any architect will let you know, is not very useful as far as space consumption and area, square footage, the rooms, nothing like that. It is definitely on purpose.
It's like living in an attic when you're 6 foot tall, right?
That's correct.
In other words, some of the building space is not useful for human occupation.
That's correct. The entire pyramid is actually hollow. It is, all the rooms are within the four sloping walls. And the walls are made at the 39-degree angle, which is the exact angle of the Great Pyramid. When you drive in towards Vegas, when you're about 45 minutes to an hour away at nighttime, you can see the beam of light that emanates from the top of the pyramid, from the apex of the pyramid, shooting straight up into the air. It is humongous. It is immense. You can see it when you are miles and miles and miles out of Vegas. It's the first thing that you can see.
So you saw the light.
We saw the light. We followed it. And it led us right to them. This light on top is so bright that there have been reports from pilots taking off at nighttime on a clear night from Los Angeles Airport, LAX, who say that they can see the light all the way from Las Vegas to Los Angeles. That's how bright that this light is. I want to get right to the root. There's so much symbology to take forever. We're going to write up a report and send it to you. But we're going to get right to the meat of the matter here. The main attractions within the Luxor Hotel are these three, they call family entertainment adventures, quote-unquote movies. They're about 20 minutes each, and they do cost money. And this is another point I want to make. You were talking about, in the New World Order, going to a cashless society.
Right.
At the Luxor Hotel, you can either pay for these in dollars for each of these shows, or if you are a guest of the hotel, you can pay by a point system that they have created. So you do not have to pay in cash until the end of your stay.
So you check out, huh?
Yes, there's points, and I can almost imagine them saying credits, but they want to say points instead of credits.
Sure.
These three adventure slash film slash little rides that they have is divided into the past, the present, and the future. They're collectively known as, quote, the secrets of the Luxor Pyramid, end quote. The first one, which is the past, and it's supposed to be an archaeological dig below the Luxor Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You enter into it, you go down a mine shaft, and you get on this ride. It is very similar to the Back to the Future ride. And Douglas Trumbull is the special effects designer who designed this ride called In Search of the Obelisk. He's also the designer of the movie, special effects movies for 2001, Blade Runner, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which are all New World Order movies, as we know. In Search of the Obelisk, you battle with the evil foe, and this is kind of funny because the evil foe is Dr. Osiris that you battle. And what you are battling for is possession of a magical crystal obelisk that contains the secrets of the universe. And after you finish this ride, and you go on to the second scenario, it's called Luxor Live, and you become a member of a studio audience on one of the hottest occult talk shows in America. And you go through a total eclipse of the sun, which is broadcast live via satellite from Egypt, and they have an earthquake and all these special effects that happen within the studio audience.
And the chairs move, bounce up and down, all that stuff. Okay, you got to accelerate it, guys. We're coming down to the wire.
Okay. I want to read just right from their brochure, from the hotel's brochure on these rides or these shows. For this second scenario, Luxor Live, the last question is, you will witness a spectacular 3D revelation and ultimately face the questions, what is reality, and is there more to life than meets the eye? The host of this talk show, at the end of this show, he disappears and he turns into a priest of the mystery schools. And his voice emanates from all over the studio as he disappears into the walls. He says, don't believe anybody, and everything that you see is not really the way it is. And they're just laughing at us. There's so much symbology. They go through, they have a 3D show with you have to put these 3D glasses on that basically, I can't get into detail, but it's basically saying that the mystery schools created the universe. They go into Adam and Eve and the original sin,
mm-hmm.
and the impart the when Lucifer with the serpent gives us intellect, and then we destroy our world, and then the new world order is put in, guarded by the Twin of Bliss, and it's disgusting. And people walk out of these things, you know, they have no idea of what they have just seen,
and they don't know that they're being laughed at.
I just wanted to add, this Dr. Osiris character in these shows, they tell you that he's a member of a cult, and the name of the cult in the hotel shows is called the Enlightened Society for Global Transformation.
The Enlightened Society for Global Transformation.
That's right. And they have these on T-shirts and coffee mugs that you buy at the gift shop, though. This is so funny.
Well, you know, they're not only laughing at all of us, but they're also, in a way, indoctrinating all of the public who visit that hotel so that when these things become knowledge, public knowledge, sometime in the future, they're not going to be surprised or shocked.
Yes, we could see that already, especially with the New Age movement. You can see that as well. There's pyramids all over the place, names of restaurants like the Millennium, restaurant,
ISIS Cafe.
There's just so much symbology. The third one is called the Theater of Time, and the theater is known simply as the Monolith. The screen looks like the Monolith. It is 7 stories high, and it's maybe about 40 feet wide, and it looks just like the Monolith.
Shades of 2001.
That's correct. And this vertical screen, you go through into a time machine and you go into the future to the year 2300. And here, quote from the brochure, with the fate of the world hanging in the balance, only you and your fellow time travelers can determine whether our destiny holds apocalypse or utopia. End quote.
Wow. Now, I want to ask you guys something. Did you attend any of the lectures where I made the prediction that eventually the Dead Sea Scrolls would turn out to say that Jesus did not die on the cross and went on and lived and bore children?
You know, Bill, I heard that on what, I didn't see it in your lectures, but I did hear it on your tape, on your bibliography tape. I remember when you talked about the Dead Sea Scrolls books being printed.
Uh-huh.
I remember hearing you say that.
Okay. Well, I've been saying it for ever since I heard about the Dead Sea Scrolls, and which has been for years. And the reason I made that prediction is because everything that has to do with the Dead Sea Scrolls is in the hands of the Rockefeller family. It's the Rockefeller Foundation. It's the Rockefeller Museum. All the scientists are paid by the Rockefeller Foundation. So I knew, at least I felt, and I've turned out to be right. Guess what I heard on television last night on the Discovery Channel in a program called The Dead Sea Scrolls? Take a guess. Nobody's biting? They said that Jesus Christ was a con man, that he did not die on the cross, that when they gave him the sponge with vinegar, that it also had some kind of a poison in it that caused him to lose consciousness. And when he lost consciousness, he was put into the grave with the other two who were taken down because they could not be left on the cross over a Sabbath. So that they were taken down and put in the grave with Jesus, but their legs were broken. And together the three of them were able to push the stone away from the grave and call to Mary, who was waiting outside. And she helped them and they spirited Jesus away. And in the morning, the guards, of course, found an empty tomb. And Exactly as I had predicted, that's exactly what they are saying. It is a continuation of the bringing about of the destruction of all existing governments, all existing religions, and shackling the mob in a one-world totalitarian socialist system with a one-world religion that changes with the needs of man instead of being in conformity with the laws of God. And, of course, you know the rest. I hate to tell everybody that, folks, but it's true.
Oh, boy, we're in trouble, Bill.
I know it.
I'd like to just say, Bill, that Bart and I go around and trying to talk to people and wake up people, and they tell us this, quote, "I am an only person, I'm the only little person here in the world, and there's nothing I can do by myself. You can't change the world." I just want to tell those people right now that I'm being broadcasted on a worldwide shortwave radio.
And 1 year ago, we were probably worse than them.
So there is hope, and one person can bring about change. If it hadn't have been for you guys trying to prove me wrong, you wouldn't be on this show tonight. And if you hadn't had the courage to go up and do what you did in Washington, D.C., you would not have proved that Tom Valentine is still a member of the Brotherhood. I want to thank you for being special guests on the Hour of the Time. In my estimation, you guys are heroes. You'll always be heroes with me. I want to thank you for all the wonderful work that you've done, all the information and reports that you've sent, and I look forward to the photographs and report that you have sent on the Luxor Hotel. And when I compile all the information that you send in, I'll probably be doing another show on that as well. Thank you, and for everybody listening, good night, and God bless you all.
Good night.
Good night.